your grace and your mercy. We pray and we believe that you'll never leave us or forsake us. You will work all things for good for your people. And do all that you do to the honor of your name, because you alone are worthy. We pray for these that we've mentioned, and we thank you for your healing hand upon each of them. We give all the honor and all the praise to you. We're thankful for those that minister to them and continue to. And we just lift up all our cares and troubles and trials, things that distract our mind and heart, cause us anxious, worry, and fretfulness. We bring them before your great and sovereign throne. We pray that you would help us, that you would have mercy on us, that you would bless us for Christ's sake. We ask in this hour that you would especially help Brother Jim Burr. We ask that you would raise him up, enable him once again to preach the glories of your grace in Christ crucified. We pray for all of your people and all of your servants, wherever they might be scattered over this earth. We know that you know them that are yours, that you bless them and keep them accordingly. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would, in our great and amazing weakness, speak your word. Cause us to see and to hear of that which would be bread to our souls. Give us strength, reason for rejoicing in these perilous times. We thank you for all that you do for us day by day, for breath, for life, for your precious salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you'd be in our midst tonight and help us, enable us, that we might worship you. We thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's turn to hymn number 41, singing about the name once again. Blessed be the name. Let's stand and sing this one.
with me tonight in Psalm, the Psalms, to 115. Psalm 115. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. When David speaks of the heathen, we ought not ever to make the mistake of thinking that the heathen are just the immoral, irreligious. Because if you notice in following, he talks about their idols. So he's talking about those who are religious idolaters. They always have something to say. And David's resolve, as ours should be, was to give all glory and all honor to God and to praise Him in a manner so as to distinguish Him from all false gods. This generic praise of God is not anything near what the Bible calls praise for God. It is easy to praise a false god before this world that loves false gods. You can walk in a restaurant, you could walk in a business, you could walk about any place and say, hallelujah, praise God. And you'd probably get a lot in unison with you. Praise God, yes, amen. But there is no praise for God unless He is distinguished. And that is why David often refers to Him as our God, the God of His people, the God of the elect. He says in verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. In other words, David was led by the Spirit of God to distinguish God for what He does as well as for what He is. He's the living God who does what He pleases. And the best way to expose error and to earnestly contend for the faith is to speak the truth and to praise the God of truth. I always think about the Ark of the Covenant when it was taken and stolen by the Philistines and placed there in the temple of Dagon without any aid of any Israelite whatsoever. And there, when they came back the next morning, the next two mornings, I believe it was, The temple, the idol Dagon had fallen over and broken just simply by the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. And that's the way error falls. That's the way false gods are exposed. You cannot fight against every false god and idol that there is and spend your time doing that. So the best way to find out and show a crooked stick is to lay down time after time a straight stick right beside it. And so all of these religious people who are talking about God and talking about the gospel and things like that, that Ark of the Covenant represented Christ and the gospel, the message of salvation by grace. And First John the Apostle records this, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding." That's the only reason that we have it. He gives us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. He's given us an understanding that we may know the God that is true. He's the true and living God. And all the people of the world, and especially in a time like we're in at present, they all are thinking that God in some way favors them, that the God they trust favors them, and therefore they're dedicated to and sincere about the God. Only the problem is He's not God. Listen to Isaiah 45. "Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, all ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save." He cannot save in any situation, and He especially cannot save the soul, because there is one God and there is none else beside Him. There is no other that is like Him. And people are quick to talk about their God. And we are not to argue or to debate over this thing, nor are we to keep silence, but we are rather, as David, to praise and to talk about our God. And if there were no other verses in the Bible, this third verse would single out our God for what He is and what He does in contrast to every other God that men make. I know of no verse in the Scripture that says what must be said about God. First of all, then this verse. I thought about it in those two hymns that we sung. I thought about it if you've been reading this same verse, because all these hymns talk about the various attributes of God and what He does for His people and all of His grace and mercy. But behind that is this very thing, that He does what He does because He is God and because He can do it. We sometimes have that little cute saying, or I've heard young people say it, "I did it because I could." Well, that only applies to one being in this world. That's the Lord God of heaven. And He says, "Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." And then the psalmist in another place backs it up with this: "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Now, if you want to make people upset, in the present hour, in the present situation, when all their discussions are about politics and COVID-19 and everywhere you go somebody's talking about it, if you really want to interrupt the conversation, just tell them about our God. Our God is in the heavens, and He hath done, and He is doing, and He shall do whatsoever He hath pleased. Whatsoever He hath pleased. Number one, the Scriptures say of the God of the Bible what was said of God to Israel. He said, "It hath pleased Him to make us His people." And then it says, "It has pleased Him to bruise His Son." And then it says, "It has pleased Him through the preaching of the gospel to save them that believe." So everything from A to Z has to do with what pleases God. And as they speak of their God trying and wanting and being unable and denying God's absolute sovereignty, we're to proclaim and remind them that our God reigns. Hold your place and turn over to Psalm 135. Psalm 135. Verse 5 says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that He did in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all deep places." That's everywhere. Whatsoever He pleased, He did in all places. And that is a recurring message in the Scriptures, all throughout the Scriptures. And sometimes emphasizing it so clearly like it is, and saying it such ways as we find in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigns. I don't know how many times in the past few months, as I see all that's going on and all the riots and all the politicians, and I'll just never be so glad to see all the signs gone. But I don't know how many times I've just thought about this, about what would happen if this would happen, and what would happen if that would happen, and what would happen if this one got elected, and what would happen if they vote to do this. That's the kind of things that trouble our minds oftentimes, but this is the thing that comforts us. Our God is in the heavens. He's on the throne of glory. He's in the heavens, and he has done whatsoever he hath pleased.
Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar, who had more power than anybody that presently is on the earth, I do believe, he was really a truly king over a great empire, but he had to be brought down by God. And he had to confess what he otherwise would not have ever confessed. He said, all the inhabitants of earth, all of them, every one of them, every king, every prince, every president, every pauper, everybody. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Nothing. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Not one by voting, not one by decreeing, not one by working, not one by paying, can alter, can make to deviate from the plan that God Almighty has ordained. Not one of them, not any of the inhabitants of the earth can stay his hand and say unto him, what doest thou?
Amen.
Nobody. There surely are people more powerful than us. There are people in this earth these days that have money that I cannot even fathom. They had some of them on the news today being questioned by the Congress. They have so much money that you can't even count it and imagine it and all that. But they're nothing. They're reputed as nothing. In the sight of God, they're less than the dust in the balances, just like we are. These politicians, these people that are in so-called power, they're not in power at all, except what God gives them. Psalm 96. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. He's going to do his will. He's going to defeat his enemies. He's going to save his people. He's going to exalt his name in the earth. Everything that is going on right now in this world, in this country, is for this purpose. For God to exalt his sovereign name and show his purpose, save his people, every one of them, from their sins. Psalm 126 says this, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like unto them that were dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things. That's what everybody's going to say one day. Every lost person standing before God, beholding God's redeemed people as the bride of Jesus Christ, they're going to say, the Lord hath done great things for them. You know what we're going to say? The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. So instead of talking about those that are going to do this and that and what we're afraid might happen and all, we're to remember that God is on his throne doing what he will. And as they deny the covenant mercies of Christ, we're to fervently proclaim the sure mercies of David. David said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. We're to talk about a covenant salvation. We're to talk about those sure mercies of David. We're to talk about that salvation that is sure and complete. We're to speak often of the blood of the everlasting covenant. We're to talk about God's purpose of grace and mercy to sinners like us as he gives us faith in his blood. We're to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin, that by his own blood he entered in and obtained eternal redemption for us. We're to speak of Christ, our covenant, and him as the messenger of the covenant. Because that's never going to change. Galatians 3. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect, if the law of God couldn't do it. No law of man, no decree of man, no will of man can alter it. And as they despise the electing grace of God, as they despise God's choice of sinners unto salvation, as they speak of man's free will, we're to praise God for his choice, knowing, as he said, that we have not chosen him, but he's chosen us. He's chosen us. Paul said in Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world." He says in 2 Thessalonians, God is praised. He ought to be blessed and praised because He has chosen us unto salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And we're to sing that song. "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart had still refused thee, had thou not chosen me." We talk about before men and at every opportunity, God as He is, and God for His ability to do, and for His sovereignty, and for His covenant mercies, and for Christ our Redeemer, and for His electing grace. And as they talk about a Jesus who died for all, and yet cannot without their help save any, we'll talk about the Lord Jesus Christ who lays down His life for His sheep. Who brings the sheep. Who shed His blood to purchase the church. Who loves His people as men are instructed of God to love their wives. Who loved the church and gave Himself for it. The one of whom God said, "For the transgression of my people was He stricken." The one who gave His life a ransom for many. And as they talk about their gods who recognize and reward men for their works, we'll praise the God of the Bible. Because He worketh all things after the counsel of His will. And His salvation is all of grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. The one God who justifies the ungodly. The one Christ who died for sinners. The God who seeks and saves the lost. God who views man's righteousness as filthy rags. Amen. As filthy rags. And as they talk about gods who try to save, who want to help, who want to bless you if you'll let them, we'll praise God for His power and His wisdom and His ability to save and to keep. We'll talk about Jesus who saves His people from their sins. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians. "For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many or lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we are in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." One God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One gospel, one purpose, one will. Our God is in the heavens. Nothing that goes on in earth affects our God. Amen. He's in the heavens tonight. He'll be in the heavens next Wednesday. He's ruling tonight in absolute sovereign sway. He'll be ruling next Wednesday, no matter what happens. And I can guarantee you, as they say, you can quote me on this. Whatever happens, it'll be His will. That's the only way it could be. Because He works all things after the counsel of His will. He raises up and He brings down. That's what the scriptures say. He kills and He makes alive. He raises up beggars out of the dunghill and sets them on thrones. He takes kings and puts them in the dunghill. As God, He acts like God. And He saves like God. He saves whomsoever He will. And He does so in the Lord Jesus Christ. David says in verse 3, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased." Then he contrasts our God. "Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them." They may not make them out of gold or wood or stone, but they make them in their mind. That's where an image always starts, in the imagination of fallen man. "They that make them are like them," are like unto them, "and so is every one that trusteth in them." They're what? Lifeless. Lifeless. "O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron." He's talking about God's people there. "He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Yea, ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Everybody's blessed nowadays, so they say. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness without works. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Praise the one who works all things after his own will. Praise the Lord who does whatsoever he will. And somebody said, but what if he does what? We've all got our thoughts. What if he does what? What if he does this in my life? What if he does this in your life? Well, he just works everything for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. He works it. He does it. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. He does it. As an old preacher said, after he and another brother had had a car wreck and they were scrambling around to see if everybody was all right, one of them said, God is sovereign and we'll be thankful. He's sovereign. That's our comfort. That's our comfort in all the affairs of this life. He's an absolute sovereign. He works all things. He's done whatsoever he has pleased. And I pray for grace that the Lord would give me a heart that's pleased with what he does, whatever it is.
Amen.
And I believe that that is what true prayer is about. We don't pray to change God or his will. But in prayer we're brought to be pleased with what pleases him. Our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. It's already established. It's already in his will. It's already his will. It's already, as we say, as good as done. Whatever it is, he's to be praised for it. Father, tonight we pray that you would just seal this verse to our hearts and minds. Subdue that natural rebellion in our hearts. Make us to know that you do what you do, even for judgments of men or for good of men. But you do everything for your people. We thank you for your blessings upon us. We ask that you would strengthen us and encourage us and cause us to speak your praise. We pray and thank you in the name of Christ. Amen.